Welcome to the Vertafore Insurance Podcast with Rick Fox. We're here to talk about the industry with some of its biggest influencers. From technology, trends, and current events, if it's happening in insurance, you'll hear about it here. Make sure to tune in every week and join in on the conversation with us on social media at Vertafore. And now, here's Rick Fox.
Welcome back to another episode of the Vertafore Insurance Podcast, the VIP. I'm the host, Rick Fox, and I am really glad to be having the conversation I'm having today. I'm having a conversation with one of my favorite people in the insurance industry, somebody I've known a long time, somebody that I never stand and have a conversation with and not learn something because she's done it, she's been there. Is such a great advocate for the industry. Kitty Ambers, welcome to the show.
Well, gosh, Rick, thank you so much. It's exciting to be here.
I'm glad you're here. And so Kitty currently is the Chief Growth Officer at Avist. Later in the show, she'll give us kind of a little rundown of what they're doing over at Avist. And before that was CEO at NetView, the network for Vertafore users for over 5 years. So Kitty and I have bumped into each other at a number of shows. We've been in a lot of rooms together. And I think from our other conversation we had earlier, Kitty, I think the way to kind of set this up is I'm going to call it Kitty's three things. So this is kind of a combination of trends, challenges, maybe just your perspective, but it's Kitty's three big things that are out there in the industry. So everybody buckle up because we're about to go. But before we do, Kitty, kind of give us your journey. I always like to get everyone a perspective. I'm sure everyone knows who you are, but not everybody probably knows how you got to where you are today and what that journey looked like. So kind of walk us down the Kitty journey of how you got to where you are today.
All right. Well, thanks for that opportunity. I'm actually one of those insurance brats, if you can believe that. I like to say I'm the DOB instead of the SOB. I'm the daughter of the boss. But I actually started in the industry in our family-owned agency. And I also like to say that all that happened BC, before computers. So I truly grew up in a small town of about 1,800 people. My dad was the mayor of that small town. And, you know, our customers were everywhere. So you very quickly learned that you were always on stage. And you networked extensively because your customers, again, they were everywhere. My job initially was to go get the mail. And literally in the three blocks walk to and from the mail, the post office, I mean, I'd run into customers and they'd ask me questions and, you know, you never went to the grocery store on Saturday morning without being completely made up and put together because you knew you were going to run into bunches of customers. So kind of created an interesting perspective growing up in an agency like that. I think one of the coolest things in hindsight was that I came on board and actually spent my first spring break in college in licensing school. Woo-hoo! And it's fascinating. The whole goal with that was to join our team as a CSR as we installed our first management system. And so, you know, the lead up and the planning that went into the implementation of our very first management system in terms of the fact that we built processes and procedures before we had the technology that kind of operated on those processes and procedures. So, you know, it totally resonates with me when somebody talks about, you know, the garbage in their system and how they have to clean that up. And because my gosh. Yeah. Cause I mean, we were just super mindful of that before we even started. So, you know, that led to a really good experience with the implementation and introduction of an agency management system for me, because we kind of got to do it from scratch and got to really think it through and understood the impact of what we were doing. So tremendous, tremendous learning opportunity for me there. We built a co-op program with Virginia Tech's degree program, which was finance, insurance, and business law. And I was the first co-op student, and we had a couple others behind me. So it's kind of a cool thing to just kind of bring youth at when I was the youth into the industry. We won't talk about that, but yeah, that was a little over 34 years ago. Oh yeah, right. Absolutely. So then when I left college, I was immediately drawn to the insurance world, but from a service perspective. So I went to work for the Professional Insurance Agents Association of Virginia and DC. I was their director of member services. Then I went on to be part of a startup insurance company, and that company struck out to be a paperless insurance company. So that was a really fun experience, kind of being among the initial staff and setting up systems and trying to do things a little bit differently. Again, in an industry that is sometimes pegged as slow to change and not very innovative. You know, we had a really super innovative team and did some really fun things that were new and different in the minds of agents. So that was cool.
Yeah.
Then this thing called motherhood came about, and I decided that I didn't want to ask anybody for the day off. So I kind of struck out on my own and became an independent business owner, and fairly quickly had several agreements with various insurance-related associations, not-for-profits, training organizations that then I got involved with and served, and actually continue to be involved with and serve. So that's very rewarding, because there's nothing more exciting to me than seeing the lights go on when somebody learn something, can implement it, and it makes a difference.
Well, that's what a kitty that I don't want to interrupt your story, because I want to hear the rest, other than just to say that's what I've always loved about you, is you're there's never been a time when that it hasn't been genuinely available that I can just tell how much you want to help people and you want to help this industry. So I say kudos to that, and thank you for all that you've done. But do continue your journey.
Well, after a lot of teaching, training, consulting, working with systems. I mean, I love the challenge of problem solving. So I was approached about the NetView position, and I thought, you know, well, cool. I've worked with Vertafore Systems over the years, back and forth and in and out, and that would be a neat opportunity to see what I could do there and what sort of impact I could have. And my goal is always to make the place a little bit better than I found it. So hopefully I did that. And then this past January, I had the opportunity to kind of learn more about Avist and what their roadmap was looking like. And the whole idea of getting, you know, really digging into this InsurTech and venture capital environment and all of that was just intriguing to me. So it's kind of almost full circle back to serving agents and mm-hmm. helping solve problems mm-hmm. and fix workflows and talk processes. And that's a lot of what I do these days, especially, you know, kind of, it's interesting to be able to take my association background and pair it up with a lot of what these various associations and the aggregator or marketing groups, what they're trying to deliver to their agents. So
that's very true.
That's been really fun for me. And I kind of, one of my big, personal things is if it ain't fun, don't do it. So, my dad taught me years ago, hey, kitty, if you can't get out of bed every day and love what you're doing, you need to be doing something else.
So, gosh, that's good. That's profound advice.
So, you know, that's, as long as I'm enjoying it and making a difference, I'm happy to try whatever new. So you can teach old dogs new tricks, in case anybody thinks differently.
Well, some old dogs. you fit into the category of the old dogs that could get taught. I hope I fall in that category, but you and I both know plenty of people out there, plenty of old dogs that we've given up a long time ago trying to teach them any new tricks. Would you agree with that? You have to agree with that.
Yeah. There's a saying that says shoot the stragglers. So, I get it.
The saying I always tell my kids is, you know, if you're in the woods and you're getting chased by a bear, you don't have to be the fastest. Just don't be the slowest.
That's it.
So, all right. So let's dig into this thing. I'm excited. I kind of know in advance here on this one where you're going with this, and it's Kitty's three things about the industry. And I think I'm just going to hand it over and just say, all right, so let's go. When you do it, just say number one and tell us okay. And then number two. And then that way people, because I'm certain that this is that point, everybody, where you grab your stylus on your iPad or your pen for your pad or your phone, get to notes so you can start writing some stuff down, because Kitty's going to tell us what she knows. She's also going to talk a little bit about what that looks like in your day to day. So which is what I'm excited about. So without any further ado, what are Kitty's three big things?
Okay, well, I kind of have organized some thoughts over the years into some basic buckets and, you know, some things that I think are very valuable for successful business owners, but specifically insurance agency owners. And, you know, the first thing is just plain being aware of what's going on around you. To be a successful business owner, you know, we talk about doing strategic planning on a regular basis, and that involves, you know, the whole SWOT analysis. And mm-hmm. Yeah, it can get kind of old and stale, but the whole root of that is to be aware of what's going on around you. What are those even macro events that are taking place that are impacting your business, your life, your employees, your customers, your markets, and that sort of thing? Because, you know, we see these trends of all of a sudden there's all this new legislation that comes about because, for example, most recently, the whole privacy and security mm-hmm. and the cyber regulations, and that has a real impact on the expense line items in an agency for sure, because they're having to do testing and they're having to, you know, prove that they have accomplished these things. It eats into somebody in the C-suite's time to mm-hmm. fill out all this paperwork and, yep. you know, the cyber liability, you know, I've never wanted to rip my hair out more than when I had to fill out my own application, you know, right. just right. wanted, it made me crazy. But it also made me realize that, wow, you know, there's a reason all these questions are being asked. What don't I know about my business? Because I just haven't been paying attention. So I really feel strongly about the whole concept of sharpening the saw and taking time out on a regular basis to stay aware, you know, again, trade publications, staying connected with your user groups, staying connected with your associations at the state level, at the national level. I mean, there's so much going on that can impact our business. And then we have to drive that a step further and think about our customers' businesses. You know, how are these things impacting our customers' businesses? Because ultimately that's going to impact our business. Right. You know, I think about the last big recession that came about, and of course we're starting to worry about that again. And the number of insurance agents that were just really struggling because it wasn't that they did anything wrong to lose the business. People were downsizing. Now there was right. only yeah, exactly. one car instead of two, or now we're renting instead of owning, or, you know, in the commercial sense, you know, our fleet is sitting still because we don't have the fuel to run it. You know, I mean, there's some really big implications that go on. And if we can stay ahead of the curve, I mean, you know, one of the big truths is change is the only constant. But if we can change before we have to, as Jack Welch, you know, likes mm-hmm. to put it, yeah. You know, being aware helps us be able to do that. So, you know, kind of number one is it's pay attention, you know, know what's going on around you.
And I think a word that pops into my mind when you say that is not only obviously be aware, pay attention, but I'd say maybe the ones that will, you know, go the farthest are the ones that have a certain level of curiosity added Absolutely. On top of that. Is that fair to add to that?
One of my favorite words, stay yeah. curious, you know, yeah. absolutely.
Yeah. So, okay. There's number one. So number okay. one is, yeah, yeah. Don't just sit on your hands, look around you, be curious, be ready, you know, to embrace change and all of those things. I think that's a great number one. Number two, go.
Okay. So number two, as I look at, you know, again, 30, almost 5 years in this industry, I
just because you know, started when you were two, right?
That was it, without a doubt.
Yeah.
My dad was actually with the Hartford then, so yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But in all seriousness, I get concerned around how we are training, replicating, replacing, whatever word you'd like to use, the institutional or tribal knowledge in our insurance operations. While, you know, we talk in the insurtech world, we talk about artificial intelligence and we talk about robotics and, you know, those sorts of things and chatbots and training them, that's all fantastic. But when it comes down to walking a risk and being able to be an effective risk manager, there is no replacement for experience. And so, you know, again, back to the being a good business owner, mm-hmm. how am I structuring my staff, my education, my training opportunities internally, to make sure that we're helping people get better every single day and opening them up to experiences that this industry creates. Because, you know, I think we are the original disruptors, quite honestly, because, you know, that was a big word in technology for a while. But you know what? Insurance is all about disruption. That's right. When we do our best work is when someone's life is turned upside down or someone's business
that's so true.
Is turned, you know.
That's
so, true. So, you know, we deal with disruption daily. I mean, I don't know anybody in the insurance world who, especially producers and owners who walk in with their, you know, six most important things to do today and actually get through all six of them without there being a claim, without there being, you know, a renewal problem, a market problem. And, you know, as we sit here with this big hurricane churning mm-hmm. and people are having markets close and that kind of thing. I mean, that's called disruption. And, you know, we just live with that on a daily basis. So, And every time you have to go through that sort of an experience, you learn something, or at least you hope you learn something. And that's where it's critical to figure out for your operation how to capture that knowledge and tell that story. And, you know, I don't care if it's an after-action review where you're kind of recording what went well, what didn't go well, how'd we get here. I think one of the best tips I ever came across was I heard Alex Podesta speak at a conference, mm-hmm. and he's the Moneyball guy. And he told this story about keeping a decision journal. He said, because we wanted to go back and figure out what were we thinking when we made this decision. And to me, that has been such just a simple but valuable idea, because, you know, you get 5 years down the road and you go, what the heck was I thinking when we started all of this? What was going on that we went down this path? And again, I think it's a great way to sort of preserve some history for your organization to teach those that are coming behind you and help them sort of have some respect for how we got here. You know, could have been legislative, could have been economic, could have been talent, could have been, you know, crazy manager, could, you know, who knows, it could be whatever, but at least then you've got a history to help continue to build and grow people's knowledge based on experience, moving forward.
Well, and I think where I totally agree with you for starters, but where for me, the rubber meets the road is you've got a pretty good portion of our industry that's seasoned, experience, use whatever word we want to use to describe, that have been around a long time. And a lot of that tribal knowledge, that, you know, institutional knowledge, I think they're willing to share it. But I don't know quite what the avenue for sharing it is. You know, it's one thing to find a producer that's been doing it for 30 years in your agency and take him to lunch and pick his brain. It's another thing to sort of categorically be able to get all of that info out of that big brain and all that that insurance experience for that next generation that that is more tech savvy, so they do things a little differently, and that they can start to embrace or start to, you know, aggregate that information from the seasoned people, and then become like wildly successful. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
To me, that's the kind of thing, because you've got the old dogs that we're not teaching new tricks, and you've got a certain level in an agency now, at some agencies, where, you know, if it ain't broke, I don't need to fix it.
Right.
If you're missing this boat, you're missing a huge, it might not be broke today, but it's at least bent and it could break. So take the time and the energy to get, however you have to, you know, extract that knowledge out of your people that have been doing this a long time, and get that information down to the next generation. Get it down to the less senior, your newer people that haven't been in the space for as much time. That it, like I'm ordering you to do that out there in podcast land. Everyone needs to go do this, because Kitty, this one to me is huge, because you do too. We're out there at shows, you're on the phone, you're at meetings, and you're talking to a very different person. In your mind, you'll come up with one right off the top of your head when I say it, but the 30-year veteran that's set in their ways, maybe they're starting to look at technology as a solution, leverage it, but they didn't grow up with it. So it's new, it's different. And then I'll bump into somebody that's like, hey, I love your podcast. And they're 25 years old and they just started, and they're a CSR or they're a new producer. And the ability, if we can get that information over to that next generation, then this whole industry takes a huge step forward. Is that fair to say?
I couldn't have said it better, you know, and it all boils. Well, I think, you know, something that you said made me think back to the sheer fact that the statistic somewhere is like 98% of everything we do is about communication.
Yeah.
And so I really do think it's a very much a two-way street, you know, to have the newer people be curious, ask for stories, ask, you know, don't just show me what box to check. Help me understand why I'm checking that box, so that the next time I can think it through for myself. Kind of.
But it's people like you and I and the old dogs out there that it's also on them. It's tough to come into an agency and be the new, you know, the young.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And feel comfortable going, hey, I need you to sit down with me for 4 hours and dump knowledge on me. Like one, you're not going to ask it. Two, they're probably going to say no. But so it's at the management level, at the ownership level, at whatever, group you have in your organization, it's, I'm compelling you to go and figure out how to get that information to the next gen, because that's how we not only continue this wonderful industry that you've been in forever, that I've been in forever, that we want to continue to help people in, but you also get we don't even know what they know at the next generation because of that. They're natural digital folk. They came up with nothing but they don't know the days of having a Thomas guide when we're looking for how do I map myself to an address. It's just, oh, Siri, tell me how to get Pizza Hut. Like it's that simple. So what could they do with that information and take that to the next level? I'm really loving this part. This to me is the one big thing. I love your other two points, but for me, this is if we could just I always do, you've probably heard me say this if you're listening. What can you do tomorrow to get better? This to me is the home run. Figure out a way to get that, disseminate all of that great experience and information down through the ranks. That's it for me.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that actually falls back on the agency leadership or organizational leadership, whomever we're talking about, because different people learn differently, you know. And there's the whole thing about, you know, tell me, or involve me, and being able to have good meetings where people are learning the way they like to learn, followed up by reminders that, you know, hey, listen to this podcast, thought this might be interesting for you. Whereas somebody else, I'm going to go, you know what? I just saw this article and here's a copy for you because I know you prefer paper. Yeah. You know, I mean, my son, my younger son thinks that a Hallmark card is a novel, you know, he's like, Meemaw, you gave me a novel, you know, but, you know, so the different learning styles. And so whether that's a quick video snippet or whether it's a hard copy of a book, whether it's an ebook, whether it's a podcast or a webinar, I mean, that's our responsibility as leaders to figure out how people learn and perpetuate these conversations and help them learn by sharing those examples in a way that they can consume.
All right. So, if we just would have recorded the last 4 minutes and that would have been the whole podcast, I literally feel like that would have been enough for today's episode because, again, I am pointing my finger at the microphone and saying, go do it to everybody listening. Go do this. But we do, we will keep going. We're trudging forward to number three. I think number three is probably of the three, it's my second favorite. I love it all. Number two, my favorite, but I want to get to number three. So talk to me about number three.
So one of the questions I hear a lot and have posed to me a lot is who's your biggest competitor? And yeah, while we have competitors from a product, you know, comparison standpoint, I honestly feel like anyone in this industry, our biggest competitors are the status quo and, you know, complacency. Mm-hmm. People don't like to change. So, you know, as a result of the fact that people don't like to change, they like some change. You know, I always say, you know, people love change until it impacts them. or if it's not, you know, an increase in their paycheck, you know,
right,
but
right. That's
good change. But, in all seriousness, you know, we creating and managing change is difficult because it really does require, again, back to that discipline of stepping back, being open to change, listening, paying attention, and, you know, and to me, again, it's back to a leadership thing, and, you know, that whole management by wandering around and you know, sort of to combat that complacency and to get a little bit better every day, you know, back to that, you know, looking around, our frontline staff knows better than anybody where the pain points are. You know, if somebody's beaten on the copy machine, clearly there's a problem, or the printer, or, you know, there's a internet connectivity problem on a regular basis, or the phone system doesn't work. I mean, those things, well, it's like having a paper cut, you know, it's just infuriating. And if we're not mindful to take away those little barriers to change, then, you know, how do we manage the big thing? And, you know, so we've done a lot, around the discussion of change management and, a couple of very fundamental things that fall out of that are, you know, obviously listening. And you don't have to agree with other people's perspectives, but if you listen, you learn. And it's amazing that when you ask instead of tell, it's amazing what you will glean. So yeah. By asking someone, you know, why that's a pain point or why, you know, what they would do to further adoption of new technology, for example, or why does this not seem like a good idea, or why does it seem, you know, just get people engaged and capture their insights. Don't argue, just capture. And then, you know, then you have a basis for sort of pulling that team together that has the different viewpoints that almost can overcome objections before they arise to any sort of change you're trying to implement, rather than it, you know, being the the stick method, you know?
So. Yeah, no. And I think, I mean, for me, the saying I always used to use, or I guess I still use, is the biggest competition is inertia, which is just non-movement. And I would say it's fair to say that the industry is starting to move more towards not just being the status quo. I think that's true, but not moving fast enough. And if you're not one of those people that is moving, it's time. It's time to, and whatever that movement might be, it could be something simple like you're number one, be aware of what's around you. That's movement. Number two, figure out a way to get tribal institutional knowledge cascaded down through your organization. That's movement. Who's your competitor? Figure it out. Go out and see who are you losing business to? Why? How is your talent? What is your plan? You said you do a lot of planning. Talk to me about what having a plan. What would that look like?
Well,
it's a broad question.
It is, and I tend to relate things back to sports, you know, being the mom of two boys and a former college football player's wife, you know, I'm surrounded by sports and love it. And I always think about it in terms of game planning. So, you know, the overall goal is to win the game, right?
Right.
But how do we do that? We need to have the right people in the position with the right talent, and or we need to draw up the right plays to use the right people in the right position with the right talent. We need to have good communication because, you know, the quarterback can't be wishy-washy on what play he's calling or we're going to have a problem. We need to learn how to celebrate the success once we win. All of those things are fundamental to planning. I think where I see folks get hung up is, you know, first and foremost, they're not even sure why they're playing the game. What's the goal?
Yeah.
And then I guess, you know, when you think about that, how am I going to measure whether I'm winning the game? What are the number measurements? What are the analytics? What are the progress? You know, what are the benchmarks? All of that we talk about a lot in our business in terms of where does new business come from? What's our sales velocity look like? You know, is it organic growth or, you know, are we adding new markets? Are we growing by acquisition? You know, there's all of these, you know, we talk about best practices. All of these things are out there to help us kind of know how to measure and what we could measure and how we compare to others for whatever reason we might be comparing. All of that's out there, but so often folks just, it's hard and it's got to be systematic and you've got to be disciplined to do it on a regular basis and not just run the report, actually look at the report and question the data in the report. Does this look right? So I think that's, you know, point number one is know where you're going, know what you want to do. I think another challenge with planning is, of course, we want to do it all. You know, all of this sounds great. You know, the worst thing in the world that happens is an agency owner runs off to a conference and comes back with 37 ideas.
Right.
And the staff goes, oh, God, he went to a conference again.
That's so true.
And I'm not being critical. It's a fact of life because, you know, you are. You're excited and you want to do. And then real life hits and, oh, that biggest client has the challenge with their renewal. And, you know, that's just called life. So being disciplined to the fact of picking a couple of things that you can assign, delegate, monitor, adjust, you know, all of that part of execution once you've kind of decided what you're solving for and where you're going. And, you know, the other piece of that is by having a plan and a general direction, it's kind of amazing the opportunities that sort of come along. You know, they always say that luck is when preparation meets opportunity.
The harder I work, the luckier I get.
Exactly. You know, it is. It's that kind of a thing. And so by knowing your numbers, by knowing where you're customers are, by knowing what your customer, how your customers want to do business with you, that all kind of rolls into that planning and selection of the priorities and how we're going to implement and all of that. And then all of a sudden, when some vendor comes calling with the latest, greatest solution, you have a way to go, yeah, that's not really part of what we're where we're going. Or the flip side is, that's absolutely what we're trying to solve for. Hey, you know, let's talk. So yeah. Rather than just wondering, am I supposed to buy that? Am I supposed to buy this? And, you know, so a long way around to say, just again, it's about being a business person.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And I think what I would say to your sports analogy is, you know, figuring out what winning looks like. So if your goals are to make enough money that you can golf 4 days a week and, you know, and have a great life and send your kids to college, that's great. I mean, that's awesome. That's your choice. Plan around that. I mean, and part of that plan should include having somebody in the office that can evolve that agency. If your plan is to, you've got, you know, you're 42 years old and you want to work until you're 55, you've got 13 years and you have a number on a target number that's much larger than you are now. That's a different plan. But having the plan in place and then trying to stick to the plan and holding yourself accountable is how you make the difference in your agency. So great stuff. Kitty, I do want to do a quick, we're running up on ending our time here, but I do want to do a quick sort of, you know, informational about Avist. I know you guys are doing some really great stuff. I know probably almost everybody has heard of you. If they haven't, or if they have, maybe they don't know exactly what, where you might fit into an agency. Tell us a little bit more about Avist.
Avist is a group of insurance people who got together to solve the technology challenges that we've had for 35 years. You know, starting with our in-market product currently is called eForms Wizard, and the whole goal is to solve the data capture at the point of sale challenge. You know, tons of data that needs to be gathered in tons of different formats. How do we help a producer gather it so that, you know, they're not handing a stack of handwritten scribble to an account manager to put a submission together? That's probably as simple as I can make it. Let's replace the pen and paper at the point of sale.
Love it.
And then we start the digital migration to everything else. And of course, you know, the next big thing, and we're thrilled to be a Vertafore Orange partner.
Yep.
And as part of that, you know, we're working on that round trip. I mean, the holy grail is bidirectional data exchange. Let's gather it at the point of sale. Let's get it to the carriers. Let's get it to the management system. And
let's
then
get
let's
back to doing insurance stuff, right?
Yeah. And let's get it back out. And, you know, so that's our kind of holy grail goal. And, it's within view, which I'm very excited about, because we've been working on this for 30 years, and we've watched it be done wrong on multiple occasions. So we are being very mindful to do it right, not only with the capability of supporting some of the legacy systems, but also the being able to integrate in an innovative way with a lot of the new vendors. We'd love to be Switzerland, quite honestly.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, what's great, I when you said we're a bunch of insurance people, that is an understatement. There are more years of experience over there than anywhere around. I can also say, as part of the Orange Partner Program, that means that we've taken a look at everything you're doing, and we say, yes, that is best of breed technology for what they're trying to do. So I'm a fan. Kudos to what you guys are doing. How do they get a hold of you or of your company if somebody's, and by the way, if you don't at least take a look at their website, you're missing the boat on number one and number three, which is know what's happening around you and don't just be status quo. That's one and three. So how do they get a hold of you, Kitty?
Pretty easy. It's Kitty, K-I-T-T-Y, at Avist, and that's A, V as in Victor, Y as in yellow, S as in Sam, T as in Tom.com. So Avist.com is the website. Kitty at is how you get to me.
Love it. I love it. And Kitty, thanks so much for doing this and for kind of giving us your, you know, your story and some great stuff for people to take back to their office that they can, you know, start implementing tomorrow and making their agency better. And I will leave you with the one big question, the one I always ask for anybody who's listened before. We're going to record this next bit. We're going to put it into a time capsule. We're going to bury it and it's going to get unburied. It's going to get dug up tomorrow in a month, in a year. What is Kitty Amber's one big piece of advice for the industry?
Stay curious, and that curiosity should drive you to think about what's going on around you, reflect on it, and be prepared to change before you have to.
I love it. I love it. Kitty, thank you so much. It's always great talk to you. And I think this way we get it out to the masses. For those of you listening in, we are getting such a great great feedback on our podcast. Dylan, my producer, tells me I must implore you to go subscribe to it, download some of the other episodes. A good example, Kitty mentioned cyber liability. There's an incredible, incredible cyber podcast up with Dustin Mooney, things like that. Go check out our stuff. Subscribe so you know what's upcoming. Thank you, Kitty. We appreciate you.
My pleasure, Rick. Thank you all so much. And Dylan, thank you.
All right, we'll see everybody next time. Thanks.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Vertafore Insurance Podcast, and tune in next Thursday for a brand new episode. You can find more episodes at vertafore.com under the Resources tab or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, and if you enjoyed this episode, share it on social and spread the word. Don't forget to join in on the conversation and recommend future guests by messaging us at Vertafore.